Joe Smith time on a Monday morning, November 7th, 2016. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I am fine and dandy. How you doing, Glass Van and Margaret?
Good morning, Joe. I hope you're having a lovely morning. It's pretty and sunny out now.
Well, I tell you, it's nice to see light.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
Let there be light.
And we've got plenty of it this morning. It's daylight savings time is retired until next spring, and we're up a little bit earlier, up in Adam. And do we have any time changes when we go down to Castle this weekend? I'll let you address that coming up. I can't keep track of what part of the state is where and when, but I do know that the South Panthers are ranked number 3. I do know they've rattled off 10 in a row, and I do know, listening to John Callahan and Dave Novak Friday night, that they were dominant, to say the least, against the poor fellas from Terre Haute North. Great performance from Mo Moriarty and his gang. They're on to the regionals.
Sectional number 12 in tow, 10 under Coach Mo, including the last three. The third won rather easily on Friday night, 45-14. Over Terre Haute North, as Christian Paycheck scored 4 first-half touchdowns. The Panther offense rolled up 406 total yards, and the purple and white on its way down to Newburgh Friday night in the Elite Eight and a regional to play for against the 8-3 Castle Knights, who ended South's unbeaten season a year ago. But here comes the 2016 version of the purple and white, full of steam. 10 in a row, Paycheck now with 7 postseason touchdowns, 23 on the year, and a fellow classmate, junior quarterback Avanieski. My golly, nearly perfect the other night against the Patriots, 13-14, 173 yards, and 2 touchdowns with Chris Bamba and Luke Jaeger on the receiving ends. Another quick start, as we've seen this out of South over the course of the last month. They led 35-0 at half, cruising to its third sectional title in a row for only the second time in 17 years. The defense was just as impressive Friday night, recording 3 takeaways, limiting the Pats to only 3 first downs and 24 total yards in that opening half. The two culprits in that season-ending loss in the regional last year for Castle are back, seniors Dane Keller and wide receiver Noah McClain, who caught 3 of Keller's 5 touchdowns that he threw against South last year. Keller ended up that night with 319 yards as Castle broke things open in the third quarter, outscoring the Panthers 24-7 in what was a 45-26 season-ending loss. Both are back, and both will be key, obviously, again this Friday night. The rematch at John Leidy Memorial Field at 7:30 local time, and I'm talking about Bloomington time Friday night. Game will be at 6:30 in Castle, who've now won 4 of their last 5. They beat Floyd Central 42-28 for the sectional title Friday night. Kudos out to second-ranked Linton, number 14 Eastern, as the Miners won their 6th straight sectional. They're 12-0, and how about the T-Birds flying high? Their first-ever sectional championship, and obviously their first regional trip, and they'll be at home against Linton on this Friday night at 7:30. Well, Monroe County High School girls hoops off to a perfect start coming out of week number 1. Edgewood 3-0 with wins over West Vigo, South Vermilion, and Greencastle, who they beat over the weekend 46-40, coming from 11 down at half. Junior guard Claire Phillips knocked down 4 triples, 16 points to aid the comeback win, as Edgewood closed the game on a 12-2 run. Edgewood will help veteran head coach Larry Winters and his South Panther girls open the season tomorrow night in the Mustang Corral. Likewise is Bloomington North, perfect here early, 2-0, beating Greenwood and Decatur Central last week. Jason Spears Cougars getting a nice game from junior guard Hannah Allen in that Decatur Central win back on Thursday night. She had 17 points. Mark May begins Season 3 at Lighthouse Christian Academy tonight. The Lady Lions will host Crystal House Academy. LCA, by the way, is playing its very first year associated with the IHSAA, so certainly a new future out in front of the girls at Lighthouse Christian. Senior Grace Holdemann, coming off an outstanding volleyball season, is also playing basketball and one of the key returning starters at guard, along with junior Jessica Fix. They'll be in the lineup tonight. Somewhat of an underclass lineup for Coach May, but we'll see what happens. They play the opener tonight. We wish them well in their first season in the IHSAA. In the zone, David Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6. Don't forget in the red zone, 7 until 7:45. Monday night football on the airwaves. Kickoff about 8:25. It'll be Buffalo in Seattle to take on the Seahawks.
How about those Colts yesterday, Joe?
Well, that was a solid win. I mean,
great,
you know, obviously they came out. It always helps to have a big boom right off the get-go on that kickoff return. And I like the fact they didn't have any penalties, stupid penalties. And, you know, they kept Luck vertical for the most part. So I saw a lot of positive things. A nice road win by the Horseshoes.
They did. Andrew Luck had a couple bad interceptions. The defense kept Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers at bay. Colts win. They're 4-5, bye week this week. That's the good news. They get a chance to get healthy before welcoming Tennessee on Sunday the 20th. And they win that game. Next thing you know, they're 5-5, and all of a sudden the season has got everything to play for. That's why you can't give up after 1 week in the NFL. You can only win one game and lose one game in 1 week. You can't ruin it all. And these guys that get paid to play can turn it around and get after it. Buffalo, Seattle, as you mentioned tonight. Denver, Oakland. How about the Raiders? 7-2. Who would have thought any of that going on? Pacers beat the Bulls on the weekend. That was good for them. They even their record, blue and gold, will slowly seep into our radar here as things move on. The NBA is up and running. And that's not surprising. Paul George leading the way. The Pacers taking on Cody Zeller and the Hornets. The Hornets are 4-1 to get started, Joe. How about that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Pacers down in Charlotte tonight, 7 p.m. And we'll keep our eyes on all of that. When we come back at 8:45, we'll talk about the Hoosiers, their win over Bellarmine. The women had a good win yesterday over UIndy. Trevor Schwartz, the hero at Armstrong yesterday, moving the Hoosiers onto the Big Ten semifinals in soccer. So we'll have plenty to do here coming up next hour.
Nice football road win for the Hoosiers as well. You know, overcoming adversity
themselves
with a capital A to get her done.
That's right, and sometimes that happens. All right, Joe, great job as always. We'll get caught up at 8:45.
We'll be here. Looking forward to it.
8:45 here on a Monday morning, so that means it is Joe time. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Hello,
so, how's the
Margaret?
Coffee been?
Huh?
How's the coffee been?
Nice and warm and effective.
Good, good. That's what I was looking for. It was a good weekend for you guys.
It was a good weekend. I bet you had a few coffees on the way to that noon kickoff on Saturday in New Jersey.
Wow. Yeah, I was out early there to dark and the chill of Piscataway, but got the job done. Yeah.
Plane ride home was happy.
Yeah.
Hoosiers found a way, in spite of some of their shortcomings, to play some pretty good football, Joe. It wasn't perfect. I don't think anybody was asking it to be, but at 4-4, the record's back to 500. Or I'm sorry, at 5-4, we're above 500, rather, and one game away from bowl eligibility. Tell us what you saw on Saturday afternoon.
Well, we saw a lot of adversity, enough mistakes to choke a horse, but it was met head-on, and victory was achieved, and that was the bottom line, and it was subtitled, and a foundation piece set again by the defense of coordinator Tom Allen, holding those Scarlet Knights to 203 yards, 59 plays across Rutgers' final 15 drives, and of those 15 drives, 11 were three and outs, including seven in a row. And when the dust had settled, they were one of 16 on third down conversions, and that was key. Down 24-13 in the third, refused to lose. The defense got the offense back on track after allowing Rutgers 17 points throughout the day off of mistakes. The Hoosiers closed out 20-0 on the board and its fifth win. And its first back-to-back Big Ten win in 9 years, heading into Saturday's noon kick with the high-flying 12th-ranked Penn State Nittany Lions, who destroyed Iowa at home on Saturday night and come in with a record of 5-1. Again, a noon kick on ESPN2. That was the football goings-on. Win in advance, and that's what Todd Yeagley's Soccer Hoosiers did Sunday, ending a near 200-minute scoreless drought. with Northwestern this season. The fourth-ranked Hoosiers getting that golden goal from redshirt sophomore Trevor Swartz in overtime to oust the Cats 1-0, sending Indiana into this weekend's semifinals at Grand Park up in Westfield alongside Wisconsin. Right spot, right time for Swartz after an Austin Poncho cross. The Wildcats muster just six shots all day, none on goal, as Christian Lamelli continues to play well in goal. He got the whitewash for Indiana. Hoosiers in Wisconsin, they played late regular season, and like the Northwestern regular season meeting, no one scored. Someone wins, though, Friday. The title match is set for Sunday up in Westfield. Game times will be announced a little bit later today. Elsewhere on the hard court, Terry Moore and Hoosier Women Cagers out. Their lone preseason matchup of the year. 23rd ranked they are in the preseason. An exhibition easy 87-58 win over UND Sunday at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Kim Royster, 16 points and 8 rebounds. Indiana on fire early. They hit their first six, led 17-0, and away they went. Tyra Buss was 16. Carly McBride had 11. Amanda Cahill and Taishi Towner evenly divided 20 more. The Hoosier women play for real. The season opener Friday at Simon Scott against Presbyterian. Meanwhile, on Saturday night, Coach Tom's Fellows routed Bellarmine 73-49 as junior college transfer Freddie McSwain made his Indiana debut in a big way. 8 rebounds, 8 minutes to help the inside play. His defense just smothered the Knights all night long. They hit just 35% for the game. Indiana scored 19 points off of 20 turnovers. OG Ananobi was near perfect. He scored 25, missed only 1 of 11 shots, had 6 rebounds. Thomas Bryan with 11 points and 7 rebounds as well in the win. And now play starts for real big time over in Honolulu at the Stan Sheriff Arena Friday night as the Hoosiers tackle number 3, Kansas, the Hoosiers 11th ranked in the preseason. 9 o'clock on ESPN over in Honolulu to get things rolling for 2016-2017. Elsewhere, Lynn Loring's crew, the women netters, concluded its final tournament of the fall Sunday with the Western Michigan Super Challenge up in Kalamazoo. IU sophomore Caitlin Bernard went 3-0 in singles play, highlighting things there. Meanwhile, Jeremy Wertzman's men played in the Big Ten individual up in Madison. Former Cougar Matt McCoy, along with Zach Brodney, lost in the quarterfinals of the doubles draw, and Matt also dropped his match in the singles consolation, losing a straight setter to Chris Efron from Northwestern. In the pool, the men and women swimmers and divers dropping, they dropped just a combined 4 events to sweep Michigan State off their feet at the Councilman Billingsley Aquatic Center. The men top-ranked, as you know, 169-119. The women easily 172-115. Former North Cougar Max Irwin helped lead the way for the men of Ray Luz, winning the 500 free and placing third in the 200 free, as he was in early season form. Olympian Michael Hickson swept the diving events for Drew Johansson's crew as well. Jasmine McDonald had 13 more kills. How about Indiana's upset of number 22 Ohio State at UGM on Saturday night? They win in 4 sets. It was Indiana's first win over OSU in 6 years and its second win over a ranked opponent for Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan's crew in as many nights after beating 13th-ranked Michigan as well. And the Indiana wrestling team of Dwayne Golden kicked off their wrestling year with a season's first competition. It was a tri-duel hosted out in California by Cal Poly. The Hoosiers split their meets 1-1, taking a win over San Francisco State 39-7 before suffering a tiebreaker defeat to the host Mustangs. And as we reported earlier last week, the field hockey season ended 8-12 for Amanda Janney's crew. They were taken out by Penn State in the quarterfinals in field hockey 3-1, the final there. Well, in the zone, don't forget, and Dave and Glass and your calls at 6 in the red zone to follow. Ahead of our Monday night matchup, Buffalo in Seattle take on the Seahawks. Coverage begins 7:45 and the kickoff tonight, Monday Night Football at 8:25.
Yeah, busy Monday, Joe, but a lot of positive. Colts win yesterday. Andrew Luck didn't have a good start, but his finish was fantastic, fighting off some Packers on that final drive to get those first downs to kill off the game. Colts defense played well for most of it as well, so we'll handle all that. IU basketball, IU football, plenty to do.
Yeah, and lots to digest today.
It is. Wow. Thankfully, we've got a big program for you, 6 to 7:45.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, Oakland beats Denver last night. The Raiders are 7-2. Colts win. Pacers and Charlotte to take on the Fighting Cody Zellers tonight. Charlotte 4-1 to get their season off to a good start. And, geez, what else we need to talk about? I think we got it all covered, don't we, here on a Monday?
Well, we do. Panthers rolling, playing Castle, rematch of last year's disaster for South. But that said, this is a new team, new year, same venue, Castle Stadium, John Leidy Memorial Field, Friday night against the Knights, 8-3, 7 o'clock. Chalk Talk, Coach Mo, 7:30 kickoff.
All right, Smitty, great job as always. Happy Monday, and we will hear from you later in the week.
You guys have fabulous weeks.
You too, Joe.
See you, Margaret.
Joe Smith. Monday morning, Friday mornings, and mornings after IU basketball, which we'll pick up once basketball gets rolling properly.